And it is Friday, December the 11th, 2020. You're listening to WWGH Radio. I'm Scott Spears, your announcer. The Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker returns this morning. The Pastor Spot is a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship, and we're so glad to have this program back on the air. And just as a reminder, it will air now every Friday morning from 11:10 a.m. until 12 p.m. and repeat, as it always has, every Sunday morning from 8 until 9 and Wednesday 3 until 4. The repeats will be over starting this coming week, and this is not a repeat. This is live, and what a pleasure it is to turn it over to my pal, the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Pastor, back in the saddle here.
Back in the saddle. I guess that's one way to put it, is back in the saddle. Kind of a nice time slot here. It kind of gives talk everyone into their lunch hour.
That's right.
Before lunch hour, and give them a chance to... hopefully I won't spoil their lunch and that they'll have a good lunch, but great to talk to everyone. I hope Marion's still doing well and all the other little outreach areas that the station seems to reach. It's been a rough few months, I think, for everyone. But we've got so many positive things to look at, and I think that's pretty important that we do that and that we focus on those things. Guess what? This is the Christmas season. Did you notice that this year it seems like people could not wait to get through Thanksgiving and jump right into Christmas? I want to stop and share a couple of things I've noticed over the last few months. And Tim and I, my friend Tim Steele's here with me right now. Say hi, Tim.
Hello, everybody. How are y'all doing?
Tim and I were talking about this this morning about the things that people are doing that they didn't do so much before, or maybe not as much. And it was funny, the other day you had the guest on from Wyman, and he's talking about how they're sold out of trees. And I noticed, and then last year they had 50 left over. Well, our family has a Christmas tree lot, my daughter and her husband, down by Radnor, and they're down to the last of their trees. They had beautiful trees this year. They were cut the day before they started selling them, so they're really nice and fresh. But then there's a lot, you know, most of the lots are running out of trees. And why is that? Why are people wanting these natural trees this year versus other things? Also, there's been I've noticed that these building shed places that sell building sheds, they're 2 months out if you're lucky to get one ordered. Lumber's on low supply. We completely ran out of canning supplies this year everywhere. If you were canning, you know, you couldn't find them. You couldn't find a jar, a lid, anything. And I'm looking at these things and I'm thinking, you know, a lot more people are wanting to get back to a little bit of simplicity and being more home-focused, and I don't think that's a bad thing. Another thing I found odd this year, I saw several posts where people said, hey, if you have any chickens or livestock, I've got these pumpkins left over from Halloween, and I don't want to throw them away if you can use them. Now, you'd have never heard a post like that even a year ago. But I know that it's really odd. Rural King may still, but I know TSC, the two stores that I would go in and see these things, are just now not having chickens. They usually run out of chickens by 1st of May, but they keep getting them in, because everybody's raising chickens. They're doing all these things. You know, they're canning, they're gardening. You couldn't find garden supplies. I think these are wonderful things. Now, a lot of people don't like to hear that word reset because of what it's meaning politically right now. But if that's the kind of reset, it's a different kind of reset. I don't mind that reset. I think that it's good for families to be focusing on things that they can do with their own hands, things they can do to get back to some of get away from the crazy and the running and the tripping over themselves to get 20 places at once and to where you can't even think straight anymore. I think those are great things, and they brings up back some of our core values as people. You know, God intended us to be busy and to work. God intended us to eat and to have from the fruits of our labor. And it talks about that a lot in the Bible, the fruits of our labor. And if you're going to have fruits, that means there needs to be labor if you're going to be fulfilled in that. Now, there's always a time for helping. There's always a time for, not everything you get is going to come from the fruits of your labor. I have been blessed with some wonderful gifts before from people. Friends like Tim, and those do not come from the fruits of my labor, but I can still enjoy them. But I'm talking about in your daily living, in your daily life, having fruit of your labor and things that you do that may that I think that God designed us to feel like we accomplished something, and accomplishing something, and that we're actually doing something, and getting out and doing things, and people are starting to really enjoy that. I've got another friend that has been baking bread and selling homemade bread. Business is booming. Everybody wants that homemade stuff. And it's just so much of that this year. The fruit stands. I mean, when do they sell out fruit stands? You know, fruit stands were getting sold out. You know, all those kind of things I think are really neat. And I think they're positive. And I wish that some of the people that are in nursing homes today that can remember those times when that's what you did could be out and seeing some of this. And it would do them, I think, a lot of good. I really do. I really hope that in some way that talking to people, I can encourage them that this is tough, but try not to be depressed. One thing my wife and I started doing, which we've done over the years, but really started paying attention to in the morning, is doing a Bible devotion, doing a little, you can buy these books that'll be like, you've seen them, like 12 months of devotions, maybe they'll be by whoever. And reading that in the morning and getting something positive to start your day off, having prayer together and then going out and about. And understand that we need to focus on God, His love, and His desire for us, desire to help us. I think there's a lot of people, one of the huge struggles today is people don't have hope. And they're not, especially at this time, I mean, hope's been kicked right in the seat of the pants. People don't, these kids don't know when they're going to go to school for sure. They don't know if they're getting their schoolwork done right. Teachers don't know if the kids are coming or going. People don't know if they're going to keep their jobs. Businesses are closing. I think the worst hit of everyone are isolated seniors. And even though COVID may be particularly hard on them, the fact that they're going into COVID already depressed and already sad and already feeling like, I think that it is very much increasing the seriousness of their condition. And if there's anything that we can do to encourage them, and I've talked to some family members that have said, you know what, mom and dad are at the end of their life anyway. We got to figure out a way to see them, because this just isn't right for them to be isolated by themselves and to go out feeling lonely and afraid. And another thing that it's really affected is people going to the hospital. I mean, there are so many people, and this I know is an increase on part of the problem. People are scared to death to go to the emergency room to get checked, and they wait till they're in a acute stage, because they're afraid of, they're going to take me in there, I won't see my wife, can't talk to my family, I'm afraid of dying alone, I'm going to ride this thing out. And I know that, because I've been one of those people that has been in the suit going in to see, I know that they can put you in enough protective stuff coming in that you could spend time with a loved one very safely. And I, you know, the absolutely no visitor order, I think, is kind of over the top, because they can check your temperature, check your make sure you're clean, and literally suit you up to where there's no way that they're going to get anything from that. And I really wish they would go back to that. I think it's important. But in the meantime, we're in the middle of a Christmas season. And don't think for one minute that this stuff hasn't affected kids. They're afraid too. And they hear the adults talk, don't they? And what I want to express to children is there's hope, there's joy. If you would come to our church right now, it would. A lady came in yesterday to bring some toys for our annual Christmas giveaway. And she looked in the sanctuary and she says, oh my, our sanctuary looks like a beautiful decorated winter wonderland, and it should. because we want people to feel joy and happiness. We're supposed to feel that stuff. And we have a wonderful giveaway this year. And it's great to see people working. And we have actually had so many people giving this year. It's a huge blessing. And they just want to. And, you know, going out and being positive, sharing the love of Christ, sharing the fact that that we can know joy if we know Him. I don't know how to address people anymore. I suppose there was a time in my life when I would, but I don't know how to address people anymore that are trying to find joy without Christ, because I spent years doing that, and I did. But as I'm older and I realize that the one huge blessing, when you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, you know that He's got you and He loves you and He's going to take care of you. And you can take that one off the table. So I talked to a lady in our church, and this is just great. She said she was going to go to an event, and it was a very important family event. She said, I'm in my 80s, I suppose I shouldn't go. But she said, you know, on the other hand, she said, if I get this stuff, I know where I'm going when it's over, so, you know, so be it. She said, but she said, you know, what about those people that are scared to death and don't know what eternity is going to bring them? They don't know what the future is going to bring them. She said, I can understand their fear. And I know people like that. I know people that are literally hiding behind their doors, scared to death that they may die. And what a sad thing to be afraid that you're going to die when, you know, when Christ offers eternal life in Him. And I think that needs to be my message, more so than not this time of year. We have been very blessed with people coming to know Christ at church, people coming that never came before. Speaking of which, let me give you kind of our schedule, what's been going on. We did close down for a couple weeks initially, and everyone was asked to, we had a courtesy close down. And I'd been giving the message at Community Christian Fellowship on Facebook page live, and that's at 11 o'clock on Sundays. But then we went back in for quite a while. We were back in church, but we split services to a 9 o'clock and an 11 o'clock, giving everyone room to separate. And then a couple weeks ago, when the stuff really started spiking again, we had a lot of families that were, people had been maybe quarantined because of things at work, or people they'd been with at work, or they'd been sick and whatnot. And we just decided, you know, let's give it a couple weeks for everybody to get healthy again and be healthy, and we'll open back up. So this Sunday, we will be open 9 o'clock in the morning, or 9:30, excuse me, 9:30 on Sunday morning, and then again at 11 o'clock. And we encourage those that are at a higher risk to come in the first service, because children aren't supposed to come to that service. They come to the second service. And the reason we did that is it's a lot easier to bring those people in and separate them than chasing kids. And we only have one service that we got to worry about keeping the kids where they should be rather than two, because it's not easy with kids. But it's been a blessing. The churches have been so blessed during this time, and I've had picked up a lot of new friends by doing the live feed. Our church has just been very encouraged. I think we're a very blessed group of people. So who's got something to say besides me? I'm talking and doing all the talking here.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do.
It is.
Because, like I said, I agree. There's a lot of going on. There's like a lot of people listening, and we're getting new people inquiring about when services are and new people coming. So, I mean, like you said, it's a true blessing. I mean,
and some new families, for the first time, they've never been in church. And I think that you're going to see some of that. I think that may be a positive outcome of some of this, is people saying, you know, we need to think more about life. We need to think more about our life and where we place our hope and you know, stop the rat race a little bit. And that's what it is. I mean, everyone's caught up in this rat race that's just crazy. We're just constantly grasping at something. Heard a guy the other day say something that I found very true. And I think it was Abraham Hamilton I was listening to. He was saying that a fellow that he knew in church several years ago, very active guy with his family, always put church first above everything, made sure the kids were there when the doors were open. Because the truth is, what are you committed to? Where you spend your time and where you put your priorities is truly what you're committed to. No matter whether you say, I'm a faithful Christian going to church. Well, if you're a faithful Christian going to church, but you're spending 7 nights a week doing something completely different and only show up on Sunday, that's not a faithful Christian being in church. Be kind of like me saying I was a faithful husband and only came home on Saturdays. But anyway, he was talking about this particular family, and they had a son that was a real talent in sports. And they started playing travel ball. And, the guy came to him and says, we're not going to be in on Sundays for a while because our son's playing travel ball. And he said to him, he said, think about what you just said. He said, let me tell you what you just told your son. You've always taught your kids that being around other Christians and learning and growing together and studying together and doing God's work was the most important thing your family can do, except when it comes to travel ball. So you just told your child that travel ball took priority over who you are in God. And you think about it, that's true. That's true. Because then that kid says, well, you know what? Church is great, and we should be there and we should be active, but not when it comes to this, because this trumps it. Well, if you're truly a believer, nothing should trump God, right? Not that there's anything wrong with any of these things. Because of, I will say, Christians' lack of saying, this is who we are, and really being who we are, is what led into all this. You can remember probably, Terry, growing up, I know you can, Tim, that nobody had church on Wednesday night. I mean, practice on Wednesday night. Most of the churches had some form of midweek gathering or prayer, so they just didn't schedule anything then. No one would ever schedule a ball game on a Sunday. Nobody'd be there. They're in church because people said, we're not going to do that, and they stood their ground. Well, when Christians got to the point that they started saying, church is great, but our fun's going to come first, or our entertainment's going to come before it, then all of a sudden, not only did they change the view of what they were telling their children through their actions, but a whole world out there that was looking at them said, look at you hypocrites. God isn't as important as you said, is he? Well, if that's the case, we're just going to have it our way. And I know that what I'm talking about is expounded out over a period of time and years, and not a definite with everyone, but that's basically the message that went out. And today, I think when the church, when we talk about all the rights that they've lost or afraid of losing, I think that we have to look at ourselves and where we have plugged into society and where we have pulled back.
I mean, we get to, really, we've got nobody to blame but ourselves because we didn't stand up. When
exactly.
It was time to stand up, we said, well, okay, we'll make this compromise because we want to be looked upon as favorable.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just like when prayer was taken out of the schools, and some of the things that went on in that era, and I firmly believe taking prayer out of the schools had nothing to do with anything constitutional. It was something that now we're seeing more of again. And I think I don't ever want to see our individual liberties taken away. And I don't think that your individual liberties leave when you walk in the door of a public building or in a school or anywhere else. But during that era, instead of parents saying, I'm going to get involved and I'm going to let my opinion be heard, they pulled back and started pulling out of the public school. And then the public school, it was a vacuum, and they just did what they wanted to do in education without that stuff. And I don't think that if you look at the beginning of the education in this country, most of it was founded by churches, and church values and things were taught through it, even all of our major colleges. And that's been pulled away, and now Christians sit back, and we as Christians, we sit back, we say, we've lost this, we've lost that. Well, why did you lose it? One thing that I will always say, and I tell people this all the time, that one of the huge differences between a hard liberal and a conservative is this, when it comes to elections or victories and losses. when someone on the hard left will lose a battle, they'll take what little victories they got and they'll build on it and come back fighting all the harder. Many times when a conservative loses, they say, well, we lost. Well, we lost. Complain about losing and just give up. So which agenda is going to grow quicker? It's the one that takes a little bit and builds on it. And it doesn't happen over day and night. It happens over a period of 70, 80 years like it has in this country. And then it ends up to where that we find ourselves. And, you know, we look at our schools and the things going on in them and the rampant drugs and the things that go on, you know, when nothing opens your eyes to what's really going on in the school until you have 14 grandkids, like I do, and or you're a school teacher that sees it every day. And people just don't understand and realize what where the mentality of a lot of these kids is because of that changing of the guard over a period of time and how much it has changed and where the mindset is. And it becomes a mindset of, this is what we want and this is why we want it. It doesn't matter what has been done before. It doesn't matter what you say the facts are. This is what we want and this is what we're going to do. And it's hard to reason with people when there's no reasoning capability. I find that with myself, in having a general conversation with someone, I think that you can talk and find common ground on some things, but when it comes to the real core value of a person, with me, if my core values are rooted in Judeo-Christian values and the Word of God and the fact that the Holy Spirit leads and guides my life. So I operate from that point. And if someone over here doesn't operate from that point, we have a problem in that we have a basic, huge difference in our baseline. So there's things we can agree on, but there's things we'll never agree on. When we can't agree on because we're operating from two different baselines.
You know, that's interesting because two things there were fascinating. When you were talking about people scheduling things on Sundays and Wednesdays, and it was the church that first didn't fight hard enough to keep those people there, or the people who just said, we're going to go to the pleasurable right. event and not come. And then you talk about the prayer in school thing. The funny thing about that to me has always been the prayer in school thing from, you know, teaching for a lot of years now and also going to school. The law that came about in the 1960s through Madeline Murray O'Hare and her crusade, the head of the atheist at that time, was not, it didn't ban prayer from any school. All it did was say, we cannot mandate that you pray. You can still pray in any school. Any child could go anywhere at any school at any time and pray.
True.
No, nobody
absolutely,
can stop
absolutely.
You, but nobody does. And that's a weird thing.
Well, it's not a weird thing because what we deal with a lot of times is a mental misinterpretation of what law is. And sometimes teachers carry that and administrators have it as bad as the young people do or anyone or the parents in the school. It's amazing to me that some of the rights that we do have that people think we don't have. And to give you an example, like for instance, I can pray in a school if I'm asked to by a student, okay? It has to be, prayer has to be preempted by a student, not a teacher, administrator, a parent, or anyone else. It has to be student-led. And that is what the law is. So as far as prayer goes, it has to be something required and requested by a student. And it has to be, but what has happened with that is so many of the schools, the administrators, the teachers, have said, no, you can't pray in school, and they'll squelch it, and they'll not, and then people begin to believe, I'm not allowed to do that. I remember an experiment I did several years ago, about 15, 20 years ago, I don't know. I was had a youth group, and the kids we were talking one day. I said, how do you share your faith? What icebreaker is there at school to share your faith? And I said, they said, I don't know. I said, why don't you guys just wear a shirt or something that says something on it, make a friend ask a question. Oh, we can't wear anything at school that has anything whatsoever religious on it. I said, yes, you can. And I said, you are allowed to. Oh, no, we're not. And so I bought 20 T-shirts that had a cross on the back. And it said in the cross, the difference you make is the stand that you take. And that's all it said. I gave them to the kids. I said, I want you all to wear them to your respective schools on Monday. And they did. And then they came back that week. I said, well, how did it go? None of them got in any trouble. Several of them, kids asked them, what does that mean? At an open conversation. But those kids firmly believe they could not do that. I'll tell you another one, and it's because of a lot of the court cases that have gone on. These things of not being able to be allowed to have a Bible in school. And kids don't believe that you can. I know kids personally that carry a Bible every day and sit there and read it. There's nothing wrong with. And the schools, some of the schools have gone so far. You remember the case a while back where all the teacher did was have the Bible on his desk. And they said, because you're a government employee, you cannot have that Bible on your desk. That's unbelievable. And I mean, it went to court. And it was upheld. And anytime you have, I think, activist judges, you have to interpret the Constitution and the laws as they're supposed to be, not as your opinion of the law.
Well, why I say that is a funny thing to me, that you can pray. It's just, nobody seems to, and it may very well be.
They don't
be,
think they can pray.
Right. But what's odd to me about that is there are rules in the schools. You cannot bully. You cannot punch a kid. You have to keep your hands to yourself. Don't sniff glue. People break those rules all the time. They bully. They sniff glue. They punch other kids. And they know those are rules. But they do it. Mm-hmm. But with that one, they don't. And that's not even a rule.
But there's a huge reason for it. A kid breaks a rule bullying, he's going to get in more trouble. That's just what it amounts to. But nobody or their parents or a teacher wants to become the spectacle of an activist school board member or teacher that decides, I can't believe they did this in my school, and they see the things that have gone public, and it scares them. Now, let me tell you where I'm going to go back again to the 60s when all this happened. And I think that anyone that truly follows what the Word of God says and believes it and truly understands our Constitution and our Bill of Rights would have said, no, absolutely not. And they would have fought it to the nth degree. And to this day, I would fight it to the nth degree. I push buttons anyway that way. You know, don't tell me I can't pray. I don't care where I'm at. Don't tell me that I can't love God and express my faith. I will do it anywhere and everywhere I can. Matter of fact, that's a promise I made to God a long time ago. God, if you're going to put me in the public, you know, I'm not going to lose the chance to share you and share my love for you. And he has opened a lot of doors through that. But I think that certainly the lack of not having God around and for people to think about and kids to know about has really caused a lot of the depression and a lot of hopelessness. And In my particular life, I went through some rough stuff as a teenager, and a lot of hurt, a lot of despair. I turned that hurt into bad behavior. But one thing that never left me was knowing that I had hope in God, and that if things would either get better, or if I would just get my act together, they will get better. But there's always hope because God loves me, and that kept me from swirling all the way down the drain, so to speak. And he was my arms that went out right before the drain went down. But today, so many young people don't have that. And we see this unbelievable, horrible suicide rate in young people. And we see kids with no hope and kids that say they want to die. Kids that say that they're so confused they don't know. They say they don't know what gender they are. Look, either God made you male or he made you female. And you may be a feminine male, and you may be a masculine type female, but you're either a male or you're a female. And we start messing with our things inside of our body to try and change things. Science, leave people alone and let them be who they'd be. I know so many wonderful people that are male and female, and they may be. I have a great friend that is very, very feminine. And I've known some very wonderful ladies growing up. That I know one lady. I think she's one of the coolest ladies in the world. She's a man. I mean, what I mean by that is, I mean, she loves all.
She's a tomboy.
She loves all the sports and things guys like. But she's never questioned her womanhood. You see what I mean? And I think when we take God out of the situation, because God. Face it, the Bible is very clear on these things, crystal clear. So once you remove God from that, then the door's open to, hey, let's just do anything we want and whatever. You know, the Bible talks about whatever evil can come up in the minds of man, he's going to do. So when you take God out of the picture and it's just that, I'm not saying that everything that people do are wrong. I don't mean that. But it opens the door for things that are really, really shouldn't be going down that road, and things that we see happening today that people just shake their heads at. You know, we take things to an extreme in this country, way more than we used to. I was talking to Tim this morning, and I said, you know, I was thinking about something the other day. You know the old saying that people say, that are always saying, the rich get richer, the poor get poorer. I think that's true, but to a different point. I think it's that the rich get greedier and the poor become more lethargic. Because over a period of time, when you've lived in poverty so long and you expect the check in the mail, it's very hard to be a person that's motivated to go out and do something. And when you're used to having a lot, you never can have enough. You know, I've seen people that didn't have money and got money and suddenly became a very greedy people. Or someone's afraid of losing that money. And that's not the way. God didn't mean us for it to be that way. God meant us, when we have to reach down and lift people. But he also expected the people that are lifting to take root and move with it.
You know, it's funny you bring that up, because I've talked about this a lot on this station. What I have noticed is, when it comes to money, if you are a frugal person when you're poor, you're still going to be frugal when you might have some money around. If you don't know how to manage money when you're poor, you're not going to manage money well if you have some money.
Nope.
It just, your psyche, your inner person, whatever you want to call it, doesn't change. It's not the money you have, it's your personality.
It's what you do with it.
Exactly.
I've talked about this several times on this show too, that, I've heard this said before, you could take all the money in the world and divide it evenly, and we'd have the same breakdown in 20 years, or in America. And this goes back to what you're saying. It's how people's psyche is, what they do with it. I know a couple right now that are dear friends of mine, and they do very well. They're, I would say, relatively financially independent. And when they need a car, they go to the bank, get the money, buy a car. They don't go in debt, but... They shocked me one day. They're older now. The most they ever made in 1 year was $34,000. And I'm thinking, huh? You know what? They had that frugal mindset. And now they live extremely well. And they will live well. And I think it is that way. You can. I know other people, on the other hand, very well, that have made tons of money. And they're living on just Social Security. Now, why is that? It's because they just spent. So I think there is a big difference.
You know what's funny, and I've become accustomed to doing this since I started to believe that. I'll look at where people eat and what they're eating in restaurants, mm-hmm. because I'm not in people's houses. You know, I look at that. Have you ever noticed how if somebody, and you know they don't have a lot of money, which is no shame. Some people just don't have a lot of money. When they go to the restaurant, they order the big steak.
I've never ordered a filet in my life, and I
there
love.
You go. And that's right. But you'll have other people who might order cottage cheese and pineapple,
mm-hmm.
and they might have money.
Mm-hmm.
that is a very good indicator, I've always found.
You're right. You're very much right. And there are those people that are really the bottom of the heap that could use a hand up, and when they would take it, they'd use it. But if you also look at that person prior to the hand up, they're doing everything they have with a little bit they have. You know, my mom always said, we don't have any money, but we do can't afford a bar of soap. And if I can't, she said, if I can't buy one, I'll borrow one. But the point is, you know, you have to look at those kind of things. But, you know, all in all, I think that we have a lot to look forward to this year, this Christmas. I think that, you know, just understanding why we have Christ's birth, why God sent his son to this earth to give us hope, that hope that we didn't have before. And we can embrace that. I don't care where this country's at. We can embrace the love of God at any point, and I believe God honors that. And we're going to have some great time. This year we have our Christmas Eve service at 7 and 9, and that's going to be wonderful. It's going to be, we have to do it that way because I don't know how we'll get them in the church because of the distancing. But people love that every year. We see new faces every year. And just a lot of really neat things going on. And I'm going to be encouraging and praising and blessing and all those things that you can do. And one thing I want to add before we get on here, please at any time you need any prayer whatsoever, call in this station and leave a message, or you can reach me at Community Christian Fellowship at 740-494-2222 or at prospectccf.com and the pastor's spot on Facebook. So I've really done a gambit there, haven't I? I do care about you. I don't just say that. I mean that. We are a very loving group of people at that church. I preciously refer to our congregation as the Congregation of Misfit Toys, because if you remember the Rudolph movie, that's kind of what we're all like. We've all been broken, battered, and beaten, come from all backgrounds, and have learned through that that God loves us and his desire is for us to love other people. And that's what encourages me so much about our congregation, our friend Tim here. Tim was Santa Claus last weekend at a craft thing that went on for the day, so he takes his time and does that. He made a good Santa Claus, too. Some of the kids ran away screaming. No, not really.
Yeah, they did.
Did they really? But love you guys, and it's just been it's great to talk to you, Scott. I know that... got a lot of good programming coming up in the near future, and I just pray that people this year decide they're going to start going to church and seek out the Lord. You know, God says that if we seek his face, he'll never cast us out. You know, if we knock on the door, he'll open it. So if you're seeking God and you have a willing heart, you can find him. And but you have to make a decision that that's what you want. And that you're not just looking for a Band-Aid momentarily, as many people do. And don't be afraid to share your love with other people. I've found that in giving to, giving my God his due, he more than gives back to me. Because he loves me, and I don't think I can ever give him enough. I just can't. And I hope that he uses me until that day when I go home also. But if you're elderly out there, I'm praying for you. I love you. Please reach out to the church if you need special help. God bless all of you, and have a very, very Merry Christmas.
Absolutely. This has been the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker, a weekly spot here on WWGH Radio, Ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. If you missed the program today, this live broadcast, you can catch it on Wednesdays from 3 to 4 p.m. and Saturday mornings from 8:15 until 9 a.m. and each and every Friday from now on in its new time slot, 11:15 a.m. until 12 p.m. Pastor, we'll be back next week with another episode.
Thank you.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for the holidays. For legendary broadcaster Charlie Evers having some holiday on air.